Welcome into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. Terry Collins, along with Murphy Fair. And Murphy, last week of regular season, about to be in the books. District tournament play dead ahead.
It is. It's been a quick regular season. It's just kind of flown by, hasn't it?
Definitely has. Of course, a lot of teams, Murphy, squeezing in games here in this last week, and some of them bleeding over to the following week,
right,
to really get you ready for district tournament play, which will start next week on Tuesday for some people, and Thursday or Friday on others. And you know, you better be playing your best basketball, because not only are seedings on the line in these next final regular season week, but then, you know, when you look at district tournament, people don't remember what you did in the regular season.
No.
They remember what you did in postseason.
Or what you didn't do.
Right, or you didn't do. That is correct. And we were fortunate enough to get to cover the Smith County Elementary Tournament games. Randy Jennings and myself was over at Bill Lander's gym last Saturday, and the girls' consolation game was a thriller. Forks River got a bucket from a girl that had not scored the entire game to win that by two. The replay dates on the consolation games, girls and boys, which happened to be Smith County Middle and Forks River in the girls, and then Union Heights and Forks River in the boys, will be Thursday, February the 12th at 7, Saturday, February the 14th, and Thursday, February the 19th at 1 p.m., and then Saturday, February the 21st at 7 p.m., and you also can go online at dtc3.tv. Looking at the championship games, which is the girls and boys, both of them featured. Gordonsville defeated. Defeated did win both games. You can see those on Friday, February the 13th at 7, Saturday, February 14th at 7, Monday, February the 16th at 1, and Saturday, February the 21st at 1 p.m. And Murphy, it's always exciting. It's the only games we get to do. We also do the junior high game between the Owls and Tigers and a cross-county tilt, but it's fun to get to do these elementary games, because it means so much to them.
Stars of the future, and I'm sure the crowds were great.
Yeah.
Every night you had one.
Well, we only had 2 days worth. We had four games on Thursday, and then less than 48 hours later, we had six games, which included two semifinals, and then the two consolations and the two championships. And then that night, we had two games, Smith County and York, in Bill Lander Gym. So you could have got there at 9 a.m. until 9 p.m., watched nearly 12 hours solid basketball, except for about a two-hour break between the tournament and the high school games.
Probably had some people overdose.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Let's go ahead and look at the scores that we've got for the Gordonsville girls. Went to Antioch and kicked tail and take names, 84-20 over Knowledge Academies. Gordonsville then turns around, goes to Hartsville, and wins 64-50. And then last night they had a region opponent who could be their first round region opponent in Clay County, and this beat them by 38-35. As the standings set right now, Clay County is fourth, Clark Range is third. So of course, if they finish that way and Gordonsville will probably win their district, then Murphy, that could be a rematch on that Friday night in the region quarterfinals, with Gordonsville getting to host.
You talked about a lot of extra non-district games being played this week. Cannon County's got one of those. We're taking on Upperman on Friday, and then this coming Monday, we're going to Baxter to play them. So that'll be interesting, too. A couple of pushovers, right?
Right. record for Gordonsville girls up to 22-3. Let's look at the Gordonsville boys scoreboard. Of course, they get the win over Knowledge Academy, 72-63. Go to Hartsville and win in a very physical, enthusiastic, talkative game, I should say, I guess. Intense rivalry, 65-51. And then Gordonsville takes it on the chin to Clay County, 70-53. At home, Clay County has struggled this year, but they got a big 17-point win in Gordonsville last night, as Gordonsville drops to 14-11. Clay County, another team that Gordonsville might see in that region tournament.
You know, with the really small districts that we have this year, there's going to be a lot of doubling up like that.
Right, for sure. Let's go ahead and look at the Cannon County girls' score. Of course, they play York and lose 49-27. I think that was in Jamestown. They bumped that start up to 5 o'clock where Murphy would get home before midnight. And then they traveled to Jasper on Monday night, February the 9th, and they beat a struggling Marion County team 52-27 as they stand now at 13-10. They've got three regular season games left, the two against Baxter. And then on Thursday night, the Lady Owls of Smith County High, who they lost to by two in Carthage, will come to town in what should be an awesome setting, Murphy, and should be fun. And then a week later, the same two teams are going to meet in the first round of the district tournament.
Absolutely. We found out that as good as Marion County is in football, they're not very good in basketball.
Let's go ahead and look at the boys' score for head coach Jared Knave. He spent a large part of the evening or night in Carthage last night watching the Lebanon Smith County game. And County gets a huge win at York by 37. Murphy, it was raining threes.
Incredible. The most three-point shots made that I've seen in person ever. Cannon County had 18 three-pointers in the ball game, 12 by Miles Alexander. I mean, but the other players were throwing up threes too, not just the starters, but even the guys that sometimes don't even get in the game were hitting long shots.
I'd say 12 is probably a record, just guessing, for Cannon County boys basketball. Cannon County then goes to Jasper on Monday night, wins it 80-54. Jared Knave's team improves to 19-6. They have a chance to get the top seed in the district. They have to beat Smith County on Thursday night and then win a coin toss on Friday at the district meeting to be the number one seed. If you're the number one seed, then you'll play Monterey in the district semifinals at Monterey on 6 o'clock on Friday night, February the 20th. If you are the number two seed, then you'll play York, and that'll be at 7:30 on that same night. So that's kind of a look of what's ahead.
I can tell the two boy coaches that I have a coin that has heads on both sides. I've got another one that's got tails on both sides, and the bids start tomorrow, okay?
Well, I understand, but I think, you know, as one-sided as those have been for Cannon against York and Monterey, Smith County against York and Monterey, they shouldn't have a whole lot of trouble getting to the championship game, I would think.
Oh, I don't think so at all. It'll be a good game, I think, regardless of what happens. The one in Carthage was awfully good, and I'm looking for the one on Friday night of this week to be equally entertaining.
And it's going to be on Thursday, too.
Thursday, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you.
Friday night, they'll play Upman in Baxter. Go ahead and look at the girls' scoreboard. Smith County goes to Monterey, wins it 86-44. Smith County down by one at half, 23-22 on Saturday night at home against York. And they have two made field goals in the third and fourth quarters, one in each quarter, to drop it 44-29, 18th win in a row for York over the Lady Owls. And then last night, and the biggest upset of the year for Smith County, they beat the number five team in Class 4A Lebanon, who came in 20-4. Electric atmosphere at Bill Landers Gym. Emory Jones, a three-point play with 2 seconds to go in the game, and that was Smith County's only lead of the night. They held Lebanon scoreless over the last 4 minutes and 5 seconds of that game as Matt Farrell's team improves to 17-10.
That really is a gold star night for Smith County's girls too, because Lebanon's got a very good girls team this year.
Right. Corey Barrett, former Cannon County player, their head coach. Let's go ahead and look at the boys' score. Smith County wins at Monterey 84-43. They really played well defensively at home against York. 60-25, they beat them 60-31 in Jamestown and 60-25 at home. So only 56 points given up in two games for Lane Bassell's squad. And then last night they had three players to foul out and they drop it in double overtime, 67-64. Had a three on the rim at the buzzer that fell off for the Owls to drop to 17-10 and end their four-game winning streak. And they'll play Cannon County on Thursday night to end their regular season.
So you almost had triple overtime then.
That's right.
Wow. And
after seeing that girls game, it was the two most exciting games I've ever done as a radio announcer for the Owls, and it goes back to 1986 or 7-1. Let's go ahead and look at the Watertown girls. They get the win over Central Magnet 56-25, and they meet Macon County 49-46. They are the number one seed District 8 AAA. They improved to 16-12 to Brenna Price. I know they had senior night, probably a very emotional night. They are our game of the week coming up, as they will go to DeKalb County on Friday night for their final regular season district game.
Tell you what, that girls team over there is a pretty salty bunch. Right. They've really come on strong second half of the season.
Let's go ahead and look at the Watertown boys. Central Magnet beats them 60-42, and then they get a huge win at home on Tuesday night with a 62-57 win over Macon. We've talked to coaches from that district, Murphy, and they keep saying anybody can win it. Anybody can win it. So when you look at Central Magnet, Watertown, Macon, and DeKalb, that should be a fun district tournament.
They all have the ability to play exceptionally well. We've seen all of those teams this year, and I've been very impressed with all of them.
Let's go ahead and look at the DeKalb County girls' scores. They play Macon close, but they drop it 49-43. And then Central Magnet, they fall 58-43. Randy Alley, who we'll have on a little bit later in the show, they dropped to 8-17 overall and 2-3 in District 8-3A. Of course, they're trying to position themselves as good as you can. There's only four teams in their district that we talked about, which is Watertown, Central Magnet, DeKalb and Macon. And that tournament is at Watertown High School, the district, and also the region. So there should be some fun games over in Watertown. And another good thing is the Gordonsville teams will host their districts and region. And
wow.
Then Smith County, short trip, 45 miles probably, up to Monterey for their district and region. So, you know, if you're a basketball junkie, you can find several games to go to throughout.
And if you like a particular team, you can watch that team throughout both the district and
region.
The region.
That's right.
Or as far as they go anyway.
We'll speak with Gordonsville's Greg Bibb when we return here to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3 window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit HuffPuffTrucking.com to learn more.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Welcome into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. We've been joined by Greg Bibb, the head coach for the Gordonsville Tigers. And, Coach, I know that you've got one regular season game left. A very talented Joe Burns team coming to Gordonsville on Thursday night. And the good thing for you, if you can finish first or second in your district, then all the way to the sub-state game will be in the Tiger Den in Gordonsville.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And that is definitely a big thing. I was talking to Pat on the radio last night about that. You know, that makes me think back to that sub-state game in 2024.
Right.
And how crazy it was. And, you know, just sitting there talking about it gave me chill bumps on my arms again. And we need to, if it's at all possible, recreate that atmosphere.
Coach, how'd you manage to make that happen? I guess win a lot of basketball games, right?
Well, we changed districts, and they went by alphabetical order over there. And
oh.
We met in the spring, and it was actually Joe Burns' time to host. But I proposed that since it was a brand new district, that we start all over again, and we start with the going alphabetical order, and G was first. And we got the votes to do it, so
Coach,
it worked out.
Coach, when you look at that, are all the facilities that you play in, and a lot of these are new schools, are they large enough to even host a district tournament?
Knowledge Academy, definitely not.
That's what
they cannot. Merrill High can. They have a nice place there. I think they could, but they didn't want to. Joe Burns, I think they could, but it's not near as big as, say, I think ours is a little bit bigger. But I know Joe Burns could. But us and Joe Burns were the only ones that wanted to host it.
Gotcha.
Well, you know, it's nice to be able to have one at home because you've got a great gym, but at the same time, you need to consider geography too, I would think.
Yes, sir. You know, it'd been tough. I was talking to Coach Sleeper the other night, and he said, thank God y'all are hosting instead of Joe Burns, because that'd been a haul for both of us going down there two nights for the district and
Sure. Hopefully
two nights for the region.
Coach, when you look, I know that you had an emotional, physical district win on Monday night, and then you turn around and play Clay County at home, a team that you could see. You don't know how the districts are going to break out, but you could see them again, and hopefully it'd be back on your spot. And, you know, they played well last night and beat you, but still, do you feel like there was an emotional letdown from Monday night's game to Tuesday night?
Well, you know, I was talking to a couple of people today, and I actually just talked to Coach AG about it. You know, going into talking into the locker room to talk to them right before the game, you know, I didn't have a really good feeling as far as energy. Try to read them every time I go into the room. And, it was a big win for us on Monday night, and then coming back to a team that we beat 37, I think, the first time we played them. But they came out and shot the lights out too. So they were 8 for 12 from the three in the first half. Just shot it like crazy. Got us down by 14. We came back, and I credit the guys for it. They cut it to 7, or actually cut it to 6 at one time, and then we had the ball 4 straight times. And we missed 3 layups and charged 1. So we still, all in all that happening, we still had an opportunity.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And Coach, sometimes too, I wonder, there's been several times this season where we've had to play like three games in four nights or something like, you know, you're playing almost every night. Is that something that's really tough on the kids, or are they just resilient enough to play five games in five nights if they needed to?
Well, we had Jackson County scheduled for Friday night, and we're not going to play that until Monday now, because I was not going to play four games in a week before district tournament week. You know, it's tough anyway, but when you play as few of people as we play, we don't have a real deep bench.
Right.
It makes it even harder.
Coach, when you look at your team, I know that you've got some players that have been inconsistent, and I'm not going to call out any names when I say that, but I know that Greg Bibb and you got Butch Agee over there and Leslie, you really would like a more consistent performance, especially on the offensive end. You know, I've seen games this year where, you know, a kid would get maybe 14 or 16 points, and then the next game have zero or two or three. And as a coach, not that you plan this, but you like for all five players to be contributing. Yes, some's going to have off nights, but you still don't get the consistency maybe that you wanted. Is that a fair statement?
That is fair, and we've talked to the kids about that. You know, there's a couple of kids where we make sure we tell them you do not pass up a shot. You have a shot, you take it. If it's a good shot, you take it. We have had some kids in games that stepped up big time, but like you said, in some games you can't find them. And then there's some games where everybody just, you know, Jay Foster has the ball, and we have eight of our eyes on him, and that's all we're doing is watching. We try to talk to them all the time about cutting, moving, finding an open area, because there are four chests pointed at Jay Foster when he has the ball and driving. So if we found an open area, I mean, as good a passer as Jay is, he would find it.
You know, with that said, though, it's good to have guys that can get in double figures when they're needed to the most. So if one of your studs is off a little bit, it's good to have a couple of others that you didn't expect to do really well to come through for you.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. And we've had a couple of times this year where that has surprised us. But, you know, well, I won't say surprised, because now we really expect it out of our kids. If we don't expect it, they're not going to expect it. The speed of the leader is the speed of the team. I was thinking about that last night, sitting at home, getting less than 4 hours of sleep and thinking about it all, and I can mope about it, cry about it, whatever it is, but what's ahead of us is more important than what's behind us. So I was thinking to myself, the speed of the leader is the speed of the team. And what do I want around me? Do I want mopey people, or do I want optimistic people? I want optimistic people around me, and I'm optimistic about what we can do in this postseason.
Coach, you've only got one senior, if I remember right, on your squad. And so you're playing some kids this year, and I know it's late in the year and you've got, you know, 25 games or whatever under your belt. So you kind of think, well, if that's a sophomore, then, you know, they're more polished. I have seen dramatic improvement from the first of the year in some of your players that didn't have a lot of experience. And I feel like if they can continue to crest upward, that you've got a chance to make a deep run in the postseason.
I think so too. And you know, it's not just about this year. It is about this year, but it's not just about this year with those kids, because like you said, we got all but one of those coming back next year. So I've seen tons of improvement, huge steps forward. And if we can continue just taking those steps forward, use the off season after it's over to get even better, I look forward to watching these guys play again next year.
Coach, you got to be awfully happy about having so many games at home once the tournaments begin. I lived in Smith County for almost 20 years and covered a lot of Gordonsville ball games. Your fans are loyal. It doesn't matter what the sport is, and that's got to be an extra, I don't know, 6 or 8 points or maybe even more when you got all the moms and all the grandmoms watching their kids play at home.
Well, you know, this is a special place. I've been in a lot of places, and I haven't seen the support of people. You know, there's been a lot of people wanting to be around some program, but there are some people within there that really all they want to do is tear it down because that's all they know what to do. They want to start little bickering between each other or whatever it is. This is a special place, one of the most special I've ever been. And that's what I love about it, is the support they give these kids. And I'll go back to that sub-state game, how this place was so packed and so positive and so excited for a community. And I was so excited to be a part of it too.
Of course, Coach, that year you wound up going to the state semifinals, the furthest that Gordonsville's ever been. I know the state tournament and going to Glass House, that's everybody's dream. But right now, you just got to take one game at a time. Joe Burns is next. Then you're going to get to play on your home floor where you're dressing your own dressing room. You don't have any travel, which I think is big when it comes to that in the district and especially the region.
Yes, sir, that's huge. You know, it's looking at, going back to what Coach Sleeper said, just happy that we don't have to go to Joe Burns two nights for the district. Means so much. And sleeping in our own bed, sleeping a little bit more than what we would have been able to. What I told the kids last night, I tried to leave it on a positive note, is that we got two regular season games left. And then we start playing a series of one-game seasons. Whatever happened tonight, it happened. Our eyes are forward. And that's where we're looking. We understand we need to learn from it. And some of this we need to file back in the back of our mind and use it when we need to again. But our eyes are forward and we're ready for postseason.
Coach, what about injuries? Everybody good and healthy as you get ready to start for tournament play?
Well, you get a little nagging things at this time of the year, especially, like I said, when you play as few of people as what we play. They're putting up a lot of minutes. So you got a little nagging things, a little nagging injuries, get a little tape job here and a little stem on our back, on our legs, here and there. But other than that, yes, we are healthy.
Coach, when you look, I know that you can't control sickness. There's been different people with, that have a lot of sinus strains. They have a lot, maybe a stomach bug that's going around. I know that went through Smith County's teams. That's something you can't prevent, and you really got to say, hey, next man up, if somebody is not able to play. I know you don't have a lot of depth, but still, the ones that have to come in and play, whether it be an injury, whether it be a sickness, whether it be foul trouble, you've really got to have everybody ready to go, because you never know. We have seen games where, you know, three, four, five people foul out. And the depth of their bench determines who wins and loses.
It is. And, you know, you got to have just a package of things, a small package of things ready for going deeper into that bench. Because, like you said, you never know. Somebody gets hurt. We had one of my parents text me tonight, today, and one of my players had about 103 temp. Feels like they'll be better by tomorrow. The doctor did. Started on antibiotics, thought he wouldn't be contagious and possibly be back tomorrow. So we'll see. So those things happen, you just have to be ready for them.
But Coach, on the other hand, at the same time, we had, Cannon County had 18 three-pointers up at York the other night, but four of those were from kids that are freshmen that have hardly seen the floor all year, and yet they come into the floor and they just want to be part of the program, and they start ripping it as well. And you may have some of your games have been pretty one-sided, so I'm sure there's a lot of those younger guys that have had a substantial amount of time on the floor, and who knows, one of those may step up and be your guy.
Yeah, who knows? You know, you got one guy that gets a little bit of time in Tate Randolph, and the rest of the guys I won't start mentioning because I'll always leave somebody out. But there's guys that are developing, and that's why we play JV every time, every chance we get to play JV, because we want to get those guys developed as best and as fast as we can.
Coach, Coach, I know Joe Burns, I think they're leading the district. Their only loss was to Travis County. But if you can get a win tomorrow night, would that not force a coin toss for first place?
Well, I was looking at that and looking at the bylaws, and it looks like if we were to beat them and we were tied record-wise head-to-head, we would go to how we did against the higher seed.
Gotcha.
And we got beat by Merrill Hyde.
I got you.
At home, and they beat Merrill Hyde twice. So I think that'll automatically give them the first place seed. But we'll finalize that on Friday when we meet in Lebanon.
Is that just something the coaches, when they have that meeting, decide what they're going to do? Because I know in AA here in this area, it's going to be a coin toss if that happens.
Yes. It's something that we decide beforehand. That we talked about it last spring.
Okay.
And that was in the bylaws, and we went ahead and adopted that. That way it's already done.
Well, Coach, I know next Tuesday night the 4-5 games will get started, and then the semifinals will fire up on Thursday, Friday of next week. And I know your team's ready and anxious to host the district tournament.
Yes, sir. We're anxious to get started. And like you said, it's just one game at a time right now, and then one game seasons after that. It's whoever's prepared, whoever's playing the hardest, and I tell my team whoever's defending the best and whoever's rebounding the ball the best is going to win, and whoever hangs on to it the most and cuts their turnovers.
We've been visiting with Greg Bibb of the Gordonsville Tigers, and when we return, we'll have Brandy Alley of the DeKalb County Lady Tigers. As we remind you, you're watching The Box Score, brought to you by Wilworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3-window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome into the Box Score, presented to you by Wellworth Bank. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. We've been joined by Brandy Alley of the DeKalb County Lady Tigers. And Brandy, I know you've got one more week of regular season play. I know you've got Watertown coming to town on Friday night, a team that you battled with earlier in Watertown and played them a pretty close game. And I know you're just trying to build confidence heading to the district tournament.
Absolutely. We have dealt with some injuries here in the last little bit that's kind of put us in a little different situation than we'd like to be in, but it's all just trying to make sure everybody knows their new role and how to develop it.
Coach, we were up there. I do the Cannon County games on the radio, and you gave our girls a pretty good scare in that first quarter. It was tight, but then things started stretching a little bit. But I was a little worried there for a while.
Well, the first time we played them at Cannon County was a really close game, and our girls did come out fired up, and we just couldn't keep some of the shots falling there towards the end that got us.
Coach, when you look at your team depth, not a lot of players on your roster, and then I think you only played maybe seven, no more than eight. And when you suffer an injury or two, it's plug and play. Maybe it's your best rebounder. Maybe it's your best assister or scorer, best defender. And they may have several different roles. I know that when somebody does go down, other people have to fill not just one role, but several roles.
Absolutely. We right now are putting a lot of pressure on some of our freshmen. Right this second though, Hannah Tobit has been one of them that has stepped up tremendously and just gets after it. She is one freshman that's really fun to watch that will just fight you. I mean, she's just ready to go. And then we're just trying to fill those pieces. And we struggled last night with over trying to fill them. Everybody was trying to step up in different ways instead of just playing calm and handling it. But it was nice to see the effort for them trying.
Coach, in that game that I referenced that was played back in early February, you had three different girls in the night in double figures. The Van Vranken girl obviously is a player. Is she going to play at the next level, you think?
She does not want to. She wants to go be a student and pour into creating a career.
Coach, when you look, you know that you're in the district tournament, you know you're in the region tournament, and basically everybody's 0-0 when you start that district tournament or the region tournament, because it doesn't matter if you went 26-0 the regular season, it only matters what you do in the tournament. And we've seen teams that have a 500 record get hot and make a deep run.
Absolutely, and I mean, I know that we're definitely not the only team, but we've tried to stack our schedule early on with incredibly difficult teams just to keep pushing ourselves to be ready to go right now. And I think my girls have grown tremendously from where we started off the season to now, and how everybody's playing is just different. So I'm hoping we're one of those teams that our record might not look as great, but we'll be fighting through as much as we possibly can in those tournaments.
I think your team was very competitive this year. You had a lot of close games and certainly had a better record than what you had last year. How many seniors do you have on your team right now that you won't have their services by the end of March?
I've got two right now. Both of them are huge players for us. So Chloe Van Vranken, she's been with me all 4 years that I've been here, and she started all 4 years. And then Allie Melton moved in her sophomore year, and she's blessed to not have the opportunity to go continue playing at Bryan next year. But both of them have done some big things for our program, and they will definitely be missed coming in next year.
You know, Brandy, we are used to, I went to hear a lot of coaches speak, and I know Coach K, who's a pretty good coach at Duke, when we heard him years and years ago speak, he talked about how much more mental that practice was the deeper you got in the season. And he always wanted to cut. He'd start out, he said, if we do a 2.5 hours practice in our first month, and each month we're stepping it down 30 minutes to where that you're not using all your legs when you get to 30 minutes. And he said, he stressed this repeatedly, mentally, you got to be sharper because when you're tired, you don't think as well.
Absolutely. I think we've cut ours down. We still kind of sit about that hour and a half mark, but we do a lot of more trying to fix things and going over that, and a lot more shooting just to make sure we feel comfortable and confident in different types of shooting situations. But your practices dramatically change as the season go out. First, you're trying to make sure everybody's in shape and ready to go and how much you push it. And now it is more of that mental aspect of how much can we change in a day, really.
Randy, being a high school basketball coach is a 24/7 job. Somebody grabbing at you every hour of every day, I'm sure it seems like. But you've had a new responsibility put upon you. It's a pretty little girl that I saw a couple of weeks ago when I was up there in your gym. How has that been for you to be a mom and a coach at the same time?
It has not been the easiest challenge, but it has definitely been well worth it. It's a whole new environment, and just to see the girls actually interact with Rory and to see Rory get out and watch the games and be so locked into them that she knows what's going on and she's watching them, and coming home to try to unwind and having a little one there, it's a little bit less stressful because you don't get to sit there and dwell on the games as much. But it's also trying to control your own emotions is a lot harder task with one sitting there staring at you.
Coach, when you look, the pressure's off as far as going to the region tournament. There's only four teams in the district, and I know that the region tournament has not been in your past, but with the new setup and only, I guess, nine teams maybe in your entire region where you used to have seven teams in your district, I guess you can just kind of, you're playing on house money, so you can just go and turn it loose.
Yeah, I mean, there's the aspect of who has to travel to who. One of the things that we've kind of dealt with is, or we're getting to deal with, is every game's at Watertown. So that kind of plays a little bit to advantage for us, because I know that's even further from schools like Cumberland County and Stone. But it is a lot more relaxing about how well you do in one particular game up until the end, and then just trying to get seeding more than is our season going to end or continue.
I usually ask coaches this, boys coach, girls coach, it doesn't matter, especially this time of year, the health of your players. Everybody healthy? Any injuries or the colds that have been going around? I know that's affected several teams in the area.
Knock on wood, the colds-wise, flu, stomach bugs has been one of our better years. But we do right now have Lily Young out, one of my first girls off the bench as a post player, and then Jordan Agee. Both of those, we don't have a date of return. It's kind of playing it day to day. But both of them got their ankles within 24 hours of each other, it feels like.
Coach, when you look as this season is winding down, I know that, for your two seniors especially, it's emotional. Are you going to have senior night on Friday night when you have your, last regular season game before you head to Tennessee Heat?
We actually did our senior night at Cannon County so we could focus our last game on our district and try to make it a non-district night for us. But we're just going to take every minute in of their last couple games with us and let them enjoy their last time on the court at the Gap.
Randy, quick question for you. Where does Tennessee Heat play their home game?
They play at Welch College up in Gallatin.
Okay.
And I'm unfamiliar with where Welch College is. I know where Ball State is. I played there. But Coach, when you look, I know that maybe playing those younger players It's going to get them some valuable experience, not only for this year, but down the road. And I know you've already mentioned one player, a freshman, that you were excited with her progress. And sometimes, you know, when you get to a point where you lose two or three players, whether it be to sickness or injury, it's kind of a next man up mentality.
Absolutely. I mean, all my girls have definitely put in the work, you know. No one gets to take breaks at practice when you have 10 kids on your roster. So every one of them is ready to step up for the challenge I give them. And it's just trying to play above their age for some of the younger guys.
Coach, it looks like there's a lot of balance or parity in slots 2, 3, and 4 in your district. It looks like Watertown is going to win the regular season championship, but still there's a lot of parity there. And I know that's got to give you hope, whether you finish first or whether you finish fourth, to get hot in that tournament in order to get the best seating available. If you finish first or second, of course, you get to host a first round region game as well.
Right. We definitely do have a lot of confidence in going into the games and knowing that it's opportunity of who's going to be in front of you. So we split with everybody right now, and it's just trying to figure out how Central Magnet and Macon play each other. And then, of course, we've got Watertown Friday. So it's fun to know that no matter what happens, it's going to be a close game between everybody.
Brandy, the only other team that you referenced that I have seen play is Central Magnet. We played them twice this year. It looks to me like if you come out like you did against Cannon County the other night, do that against Central Magnet, you might surprise some folks.
We got them the first time, but last night we fell to them. Just again, everybody was trying to step up and trying to do their best, and it just didn't play in our favor with trying to play through our injuries.
Brandy, I know that you have to be patient as a coach. I'm not a very patient person, and most people aren't. But when you've got younger kids out there, you've got to let them play through their mistakes and not be worried, if I make a mistake, then I'm coming out of the game. There's a happy medium or balance to be had there, is there not?
There definitely is. I still don't think when you're actually actively coaching, there's much patience for yelling at people, getting after them some, but you try to let them play through as much as they can. And I try to only pull when it's been repetitive mistakes. And some of the hardest lessons as a teenager, and I remember struggling with it tremendously myself, was just because you're coming out doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Could be a different look to do. So just trying to find that balance of making sure they keep growing and have confidence in trying to win games has been really fun in high school basketball.
Randy, I know you played high school basketball yourself and were a pretty doggone good player too, I might say. But who would you list, if you had to list two or three people that were the most influential people that steered you into the way to be a coach?
To be a coach has definitely been my family. My grandpa, my dad were both coaches, and then James C. Hale, that tournament that's the middle school state, James is my great uncle. Bobby Hale has done a lot of good things for basketball in this area. I have a lot of family in, and then grew up with dad coaching the Mike Buck and with Neil Capps, so we're up at Stone, and just everyone that has been a part of it is always.
Well, Coach Allie, we appreciate you visiting with us, and best of luck to DeKalb County. We've been visiting with Brandy Allie of the DeKalb County Lady Tigers, and we'll have a look at the upcoming games of our five schools that we covered. As we remind you, you're watching The Box Score, brought to you by Wilworth Bank.
friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3-window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
Welcome back into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. I want to thank Justin Malden, always doing a great job behind the scenes, Terry Collins, and my cohort, Murphy Fair. And Murphy, as we look at these upcoming games, some people have one game left, some people have two, some people have three that will occur between now and district tournament play.
Yeah, we've got one on Thursday, one on Friday, and one on the following Monday.
Right.
And all pretty good teams, boys and girls.
Right. Let's go ahead and look at the upcoming aforementioned County, that Murphy, the radio voice of the Lions and Lionettes. They're going to get to play Smith County at home on Thursday night. Important game as far as seeding. Smith County boys have got to win at Cannon to get the number one seed outright. If Cannon wins, then there'll be a coin toss on Friday in the district meeting. On the girls, we know Smith and Cannon are going to play. If Cannon County wins against Smith County girls and then wins the coin toss on Friday, they'll be the two seed. If Smith County wins, and it would have, then there would be no coin toss and the Lady Owls would be the number two seed. Then on Friday, Cannon County final home regular season game, host Upman, should be two fun games. I know watching Ty Cobb for Upman, the premier player, maybe in the state. I know at least at the 3A level, he is a special, special player. He can rock the rim, and he's not that tall, but I'm going to guess he's probably averaging 25 to 30 points a game, and it could be upwards of that.
And the another thing about that, he's only a junior. He'll
right.
be around for another year.
That is for sure. Let's go ahead and look what's ahead for DeKalb County. They have got Watertown. In our DTC game, Randy Jennings and I will be in Smithville for that on Friday night. And then on Tuesday night, February the 17th, they'll go to Tennessee Heath. And, of course, then they start the district tournament, which is a short trip down Highway 70 to Watertown High School.
Got a question. Where does Tennessee Heath play its home game?
I do not know. I bet Joey Agee can tell you.
Probably so.
And Brandy Alley, I'm sure she'll be able to tell us that as well. Looking at the Gordonsville games, which are upcoming, they'll have two games. And I apologize, they told me they were going to cancel the Jackson County game, but they pushed it off to Monday of next week, and that'll be February the 16th. They'll play Jackson County in Gainesboro, if I remember that right, and they'll host Joe Burns in a big district game on Thursday night.
Almost every school that we cover, probably every school that we cover, have played 20-plus ball games. And their season is going to be, the next to the last game is going to be on Friday the 13th.
Right.
Reckon that has any effect on the outcome of a game?
Well, hopefully it won't, but I'm glad we moved to Thursday night, Smith County and Cannon. Let's go ahead and look what's ahead for the Owls and Lady Owls in just that one game when they travel to Woodbury on Thursday night. Always it's a smaller atmosphere, but one that'll have a packed crowd, no doubt, that's very vocal. You know, there's great attendance when you go to the Lions Den, Murph.
Yeah, it is. It's a special place, and I look for a sellout crowd. There won't be any empty seats on that one.
Right. Then we've got Watertown. As we said, they've got one game left, and that'll be on Friday night, Friday the 13th. We'll travel up to Smithville for our Huff and Puff Trucking Game of the Week on DTC Sports. And when you look at that, Murph, especially on the boys' side, Watertown boys have already beaten DeKalb in Watertown. So when you look at that, you know, seeding very much in play because everybody has beat everybody, it seems like, in that district. And so it should be, you know, you could be, you know, first, maybe if you won, and I haven't looked at the standings, or you may be third if you don't.
On a given night, DeKalb County's boys are a pretty good basketball team. They had us up by three at halftime when we played. We had an incredible third quarter where we scored 25 and held them to 13. But they've got some shooters for sure.
They do. And, you know, the thing with the Tigers, it's just their inconsistency, Murphy. And I say that during the game. You'll see quarters where they bust out for 20, 25 points. And then you see other quarters where they only score six or eight. I know that's frustrating for Joey Agee because I think the more consistent you are, the better team that you have. And it's easy to get down, especially when you go into one of those lulls.
It is. It is. And that's what makes high school basketball so much fun. You never know for sure what's going to happen.
Murphy, as you look at these district tournaments that are starting up next week, you know, we're fortunate enough that those are central for enough. Of course, I know Cannon's got probably the furthest trip to Monterey, or does have the furthest trip to Monterey, that Smith County and York will be there. But, you know, you're going to get to go there for four straight years, go up to Monterey in Putnam County, up on the mountain, as they say, to play. And, of course, you can stop and cook. We've got several places to eat
right
there as well.
Right. I love their gym, though. Right. And when the players at halftime have to walk back up through the crowd, that's pretty special.
It is. And not good if you've got upset fans, but still, hopefully we won't have a problem.
The best part is the officials don't have to walk up through the crowd, right?
Thanks so much to Wellworth Bank for sponsoring today's show. For Murphy Ferry and Justin Malden, I'm Terry Collins. Good night on The Box Score.